Australia's much-vaunted Pacific step-up is in disarray following an acrimonious meeting with regional leaders over climate change amid China's rising influence in the region. Fijian leader Frank Bainimarama has described Scott Morrison's approach during the Pacific Forum as very insulting and condescending, in his words. And relations were strained even further when the Deputy Prime Minister, Michael McCormack, claimed Pacific Islanders would cope with rising sea waters by coming to Australia to do seasonal work.
They'll continue to survive with large aid assistance from Australia. They'll continue to survive because many of their workers come here and pick our fruit grown with hard Australian enterprise and endeavour, and we welcome them. We always will.
That's Deputy Prime Minister Michael McCormack speaking there. Now, the former president of the Pacific Island nation of Kiribati, Sonote Tong, says Australia should be sanctioned for its approach to the Pacific. I spoke with him a short time ago.
Good morning to you too, Hamish.
Following this week of meetings, is Australia's relationship with the Pacific better or worse, in your view?
Yeah, I think it was pretty much expressed by the leaders themselves that they had been hoping for a much more positive outcome, but it didn't. And the reason was that Australia was pushing its own agenda at the cost of what would have been more meaningful for the three island countries.
Scott Morrison has repeatedly said, though, that the Pacific is family to Australia. How does the region view its relationship with Australia right now?
Our concept of family membership is about being together in a community, being able to look after each other, to care for each other. I think on the issue of climate change, it's critical. It's an issue of survival for the Pacific Island countries. And one of the key issues has been the coal mining initiative by Australia. The science is pretty categorical in indicating that coal is one of the primary contributors to carbon emission. And so for Australia to continue to do that is in direct contradiction to what the Pacific Island countries have been hoping would happen. And there's no doubt they've been looking to Australia for some kind of leadership in this global battle. And so this deep disappointment, especially after what happened in Tuvalu.
If, though, the Australian government's view is that it needs to continue exporting coal in order to have a strong and growing economy, and that it needs that in order to continue supporting the Pacific financially in the way that it has always done, isn't the Australian government right, therefore, to say, look, we have to balance these priorities?
No, I think that the answer to that was very well expressed by the Prime Minister of Tuvalu in saying that what you put on the table in terms of development assistance does not give you the excuse to go on doing what you know would be detrimental to the future survival of the Pacific Island countries. I've had this conversation before. When we were discussing our approach to the Paris conference. And there was a big argument between Australia and New Zealand and the rest of the Pacific countries as to whether we should be going for 1.5 degrees rising global temperature or 2. And of course, the Australian and New Zealand insisted that to go below 2 would be detrimental to their economic growth. But I was there and I did know it's about survival. How can you compare survival as opposed to economic growth? And so we've got to get the priorities and the values right here.
You've called for Australia either to face sanctions or to be suspended altogether from the Pacific Islands Forum. What would either of those things achieve?
I think it would send a very strong message because I think really what is the point of the relationship? If any relationship must be mutually beneficial. It cannot be for the benefit of just one. And the climate change is a global issue, and it requires a global collective action. It's not about one country insisting on an agenda which is directly related to its own national political agenda. The point that needs to be understood is it's not about shutting coal and shutting industry. Yes, it's about shutting the coal industry, but it's not about shutting in the rest of the industry because alternative energy is coming and we need to focus and invest in that. Because why? And you ask the question, why? Because coal is so damaging to the future, not only of people in the Pacific Island countries, but for the planet as a whole. Science is pretty clear on that.
But I suppose the geopolitical scenario here is that Australia is saying that it's embarking on a Pacific step up to try and counter China's expanding reach throughout the region. You've accused Australia of failing its duty as a regional leader. Do you see this as being a sort of binary situation where the Pacific could choose to seek support more from China than it has done from Australia in the past?
Yes, I think, again, the point was expressed by the leaders. It's really the question, how much more can we lose? And what benefit do we have in maintaining the relationship, which would end up in total destruction of our own countries? And, I think the Prime Minister of Fiji said it very well. We can't do any worse.
But so what's the appeal with China as a debtor, of China as a funder, an aid supplier?
Well, I think it's really about the lesser of the two evils, I guess. And at the moment, Australia is coming up as the worst of the two evils. And there's got to be a better understanding. There's got to be a more respectful way of understanding each other. The dialogue, the conversation needs to carry on. It cannot be dictated by the coal industry in the background.
So what about, do you not see any value in the shared values of democracy, of open justice that Australia shares with most of these Pacific Island nations?
Oh, we have that. I think in many ways we believe we may be more democratic than many of the countries that have espoused this. But I think coal is not part of the democracy. It's not part of the justice. It's about our survival. If Australia is doing everything that would damage our future, what is the benefit in keeping that relationship going? And what options do we have with China? We don't know. But so far they don't. We haven't explored that.
It is China that buys a lot of Australia's coal. Isn't it a bit hypocritical to accuse Australia on this issue of coal and give China a free pass?
Well, I'm not saying that there is now a conclusive position to go to China, but I think there is
a rejection. Sure, but you've just said coal is this major issue at the centre of the Pacific's view on this question of the geopolitics. I mean, China buys a lot of Australia's coal. I mean, that's where it's going.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, let me be quite clear on this. All of what's happening is not good, not especially for the most vulnerable countries, but for the whole planet as a whole. And so there's got to be some more deeper conversation, and there's got to be some very, very genuine commitments to doing what is right. But I think to say this is right for me, it may be wrong for you, it doesn't matter. I think that's not the way to start a conversation.
The tensions erupted to some degree over what Australia was doing to combat climate change, as you've been describing. Michael McCormack, the Australian Deputy Prime Minister, has said that Pacific Islanders can survive rising waters by coming to Australia to pick our fruit. How do you respond to that kind of assertion?
No, I don't think that has any relationship. I really could not provide the connection. Why picking fruits in Australia had anything to do with our survival. We, as a nation, as people, we would love to continue to be able to live in our home countries. And of course, what is happening with the climate change, exacerbated by what is happening with the coal industry, is heading us in the very direction that we don't want to go. And it's about understanding. If Australia could keep all of the emissions within its national borders, we would have no argument. But the reality and the truth is that it's a global issue, and emissions respect no boundaries.
Anote Tong, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
You're very welcome indeed, and thank you.
Anote Tong is the former president of Kiribati. I should note that we sought interviews with Michael McCormack as well as the foreign minister, Maurice Payne, this morning. Neither are available.